I have Carla Bishop coming at 4:15. She's going to talk about the mill and how everything is dispersed and that kind of stuff. So we can maybe call the meeting to order, and then we can start vouchers, and then when she gets here, kind of pause vouchers and give her our attention.
Yep.
I just don't want her to have to sit around and wait. And,
yep, you know. Sounds good.
I'll call the meeting to order. Perfect. Thank you very much. Has everyone had a chance to look over the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
See if there's anything you feel like we need to add.
Is Casey coming?
I don't know. Are they calling in?
I haven't talked to him.
Okay. I haven't talked to him either. I just figured they would come or call. Okay. Well, we'll wait and see if they call.
Sounds good.
Can we start?
On the agenda, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the agenda, and Adam has seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, we'll approve the agenda.
Do you think we should text them or call them and see if they're going to jump on?
Don't
I don't have
me.
Their. I don't have their number.
Oh, I have Crosby's number. We can start the vouchers while
okay.
These are the Buffalo area ones. For our policy with North Wyoming Insurance, have you signed anything for the new one?
Do
you typically, because it says authorized agent?
Yeah.
Brittany be signing this?
Brittany should be signing anything that comes down the pipe.
It is the
including
renewal.
A check to me for my birthday.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
This is a receipt for that $9,000 out of the First Interstate
Bank.
Oh,
okay.
I thought you might need to attach
that.
These are the district ones.
So Teresa, I had Teresa send me out exactly what we're going to be signing tonight. The only kind of real big things that you're going to see is our yearly insurance liability to North Wyoming Insurance. So that's going to be a check for $20,000. But otherwise, everything else was pretty standard, it seemed.
We get those in our reports every month anyway, don't we?
The report after. You get the report showing the ones that you approved at the prior meeting.
Okay.
But I did send, because we talked at the last meeting to possibly meet a little bit ahead and go over the vouchers, but she found out in the bylaws it's not really
right.
The bylaws state to technically sign the vouchers during the meeting. So unless, I mean, we can certainly change our bylaws, but I didn't want to change anything, you know.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot. I think in December was just kind of crazy because we
had
all those extra checks to sign. So the other thing I thought about doing, too, is just kind of letting people know, like, we're probably going to be signing vouchers for the first 20 minutes of the meeting. The meeting probably won't start till about 4:20, if that's when you want to arrive.
Yeah.
So if you guys have ideas, I'd love to hear anything else you think.
One question on the insurance. Is that KC Ambulance and the board itself, and is Buffalo Ambulance separate insurance?
Which insurance are you referring to?
The North Wyoming Liability Insurance.
Yep. $20,000 per year.
That's the whole rural healthcare district.
Okay.
And is there a DNO in place? Has come up at a different time?
You got to tell me what a DNO is.
Oh, I'm sorry, just directors and officers. It would be more for kind of the board policy.
You, board members are bonded, is that what you mean?
Yeah, we can look at it later.
That's enough. Teresa just let me know that this insurance liability that we're signing a check for $100, that's for the board bond.
Mm-hmm. Is for the board bond.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So CNA surety, and there's a check for that.
Perfect. Okay. Yep. Awesome.
And the North Wyoming insurance policy is like 200 and some pages, so I could forward that to everybody.
Yeah.
And I did print out a few sheets that just kind of show
that's
the
okay.
numbers, but it's pretty involved.
Covers the ambulances, though, and then
yeah.
our, as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you'll see that you're talking to CNA.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll come by.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So let's give Carla maybe our attention here real quick. Thank you for coming, Carla, very
welcome.
Much. Like I said, I asked Carla to come and just kind of give us an overview of the mill levy and how things work, and so we can all kind of be on the same page with things together.
I printed out the monthly report that I send out. I don't know if you guys get that, but since I have it, here you go.
Perfect. It does come with the check, Carla.
I actually
never thought about sending that to them, but possibly I should.
We don't usually get that.
Okay.
But
it's a good
idea.
When I'm talking numbers, this maybe will help you understand where I'm what line item I'm on.
I think it's at least good for the treasurer to have.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. So let me take my coat off and feel like I'm going to stay for a few minutes. What you have in front of you would be the report that comes with your December check, which would have been in the amount of $219,319.53 that you'll see down at the bottom right there. As you're looking at the bottom, we'll start at the bottom half of the page on the revenue side. Each line of a tax year comes to you in a separate line. And the credit line is what you would want to look at. The ending balance is what you have as of fiscal year from July 1 to December 31. So that ending balance is how much you've gotten so far this fiscal year. So you will see that we start picking up some taxes in 2013. That's through a settlement that we've gotten with one of the mineral companies that make payments. But meanwhile, you don't really get money clear down until 2022 and 2023, and that's the main reason why I'm here to visit with you about. You do get motor vehicle fees, you get the prorate fees, you get mobile machinery, vet exemptions, which comes during certain times of the year mainly, and then interest on the delinquent taxes. So the way the mill levy is working right now with mineral, it has taken a full 360-degree change this year because the mineral companies are doing production, and the way it used to work, they wouldn't pay until 18 months down the road. Many of those companies were long gone by then, and I'm trying to collect from someone that has either declared bankruptcy or is nowhere to be found. By then, they've changed their name three times. I can't find them, nor can I collect from a bankrupt company. So, through the legislation process, they changed it so that mineral companies will now pay when their level is over a certain valuation. They will make monthly payments, just like they do the severance tax to the state. And so they report their production to the state. The state turns around and sends them a bill back immediately. So the payment that I just received, which was December's payment, which comes actually in January, was for October production. But that's for, technically, in our world, that's a 2023 tax bill because it always runs in the rear. What the 2022 bill is that all the rest of us are paying is their 2021 production. So now here we are sitting here with money for 2023 that we don't have a mill levy for. So it's an estimated payment to all of them. It's they're going off of what my current mill levy is, and they're making that payment, knowing that come July, when a mill levy is set, they will have to do a true-up. They may have overpaid, they may have underpaid, and we will have to either, we will adjust it one way or another of sending money back or collecting more, sending them an additional bill. And so that money is kind of sitting here in limbo land, but here's the caveat to the whole deal. Because they're making these companies pay monthly now, they thought it would be too much of a burden for them to have to pay their 2022 bill and their 2023 bill. So their 2022 bill has been deferred over a 13-year, 15-year process, which many of the companies have said, not doing it. We're not going to do that. They've either paid in full, they've paid half. I only have a couple that have not made a payment at all. But majority of them have all said, we're not going to deal with this for 15 years. You're just going to get paid like you always get paid, especially now since the oil and the gas is running good. They're making the money. They're paying their bill, which is amazing. So what to do with that 2023 money is what everyone's question has been. At this point, our suggestion is use it sparingly. To make your budget of what you may need, if you are falling short, you're going to have to use that money because you're not getting the 2022 mill levy, so you're going to have to borrow from the 23. But just know that eventually there could be that true-up process that you're going to have some excess in case I have to give some of it back. It will be pulled from your budget to give it back to them. We are still very hopeful that the settlement with Carbon Creek is still out there. It has revved up to some extent. So it's looking more promising than it did several months back. And so we haven't given up hope on that. And if that money would come in, what we are hoping can happen is that if you've used your reserves, that would be replenishing your reserve accounts to get that back so that you have that rainy day fund to fall back on again. And not spend those funds that are coming to you. But as far as the 2023 goes, then once that true-up goes, then that will be settled. But in the meantime, keep in mind, this is going to be the norm from now on. I'm going to be collecting 2024 taxes once January of 2024 hits, again off of a wrong mill levy. So it's just going to be the continual that you're going to get money ahead of the ball game. But it will have a true up 7 months into the year. And we would go from there. Come July, then once we have a mill levy set, then that's the true up. And you know from then on, the money you're getting from July to December, that's good. Uh-huh. Those are good funds.
So it'll be 1st of August, we'll either get some extra or have to pay some back?
I would bill them out probably about the first. Excuse me, around the 1st of August. So somewhere within August or September would be the... If it's a refund back, I would know that right away. But if I have to send them a bill, then I have to wait for them to send me the money.
And it's not likely to be a giant sum, but it could be...
I can't think that it would be.
5%, maybe 10 at the most.
Yeah, because they are allowed... all of my years I've been here, we've dealt with what's called an NOVC, a Notice of Valuation Change.
Yeah.
And those can be refunds that come 3 years down because they have their own self-reporting time of 3 years down the line that they can say, oh, due to production or due to transportation, we get to reduce this amount, and we would have to give them back a refund. It's about the fifth year, then the audit department goes, oh, No, you didn't report right. And then they can step in, and we've sent supplementals out at that point. Their thought process is that this is going to help reduce that down, and it will be handled within the monthly payments that I'm getting, that we don't have to, the county themselves don't have to send back the money, that it would be trued up at the state level before they send us funds.
That would be good.
Yes.
So how often does the treasurer send a check to the rural health care district?
Once a month.
Okay.
Every month by the 10th of the month. It's usually probably around the 5th or so that we send that check out.
Which is new. We didn't always do that. Get a check every month.
No, you've always gotten
always
a check.
Get one every month?
Yeah, you've always gotten a check
every
month.
Because I was thinking we'd get these big chunks.
Mm-hmm. Nope, you've gotten a check every month.
Okay.
Carl, I think what she's representing, Marilyn, you would get like your big chunk would be for the people that would pay their property taxes September.
Yeah.
Those
yes.
are the big checks.
But
yes.
making me feel...
Oh, no. So no, because our property tax payments are due... In November, November and May, or the final payment or one full payment by December,
right.
Then yes, your check that you get right at the first part of December, the first part of January, or May, which would be your June check, those checks are always a lot bigger than all your other checks.
Hundreds of thousands usually.
Yes.
And that's the property tax.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was...
The thing
about.
You're seeing different now is because I am getting those monthly mineral checks every month. And so those certainly make each month's check look a lot better. Like this particular month, you received $49,000 for 2023 taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is upping everyone's check every month for them to more revenue to you. And our, like I said, I visited with Bill before I came to make sure we were all going to operate on the same, our thought process was all the same. That, yes, make sure you're bringing yourself whole, but use it sparingly. Don't go off and give everyone raises or, you know, buy these big elaborate things because it will have a true-up process in it.
We need a cushion.
Yes.
For this very thing.
Yeah, for this very reason. Mm-hmm. And for the very reason of why we're sitting here waiting for $26 million to come in. It's just for the reasons like that you have to have a cushion.
So from our 22-23 proposed budget, we had $722,000 tax from the county estimated, which is 2 mils. Is that going up, and do you have any kind of a guess what that looks like?
I do not.
So we're going to go with that number until July?
Yes, that would be your that's when you get to go by until July.
Okay.
And then, because that's pretty much your set, our mills are set. According to the valuation, that you take the assessor's funds, the assessor's valuation, we take all of the bills, like your budget, the fares, well, we will leave the fare out of it because they fall under the 12. We'll take your budget, the cemetery budget, the hospital budget, all of those budgets go together. And so we kind of have some idea of funds needed. And that's how we determine, because I take off of property the motor vehicle and the extras down there, the motor vehicle, to determine how many mills, what your mill levy would be, how many mills you need in order to make your budget whole. But when you guys set a set 2 mills, then that's what you get. Whatever the valuation, you're going to get 2 mills of that. Knowing that on top of that 2 mils of property, you're getting the motor vehicle fees and everything in on top of that as well.
And also remember that when that valuation was certified, that was like a snapshot in time for that day. So right now, with your companies producing more gas to meet the demand and oil and gas being traded at a higher price, your 2 mils are still going to get charged against that higher value. So you should see actually a higher return off of those 2 mills than what the valuation was initially certified at. Again, assuming that everybody is paying their taxes, which at this point, the people are paying their taxes because they have done the threat of being shut down.
Yes.
Yeah. So the hope is really that when you certified that you needed the full 2 mills, that it's going to generate more than what we thought back in July. And certainly as people are paying more for automobiles and other things, you're seeing that push in your price of your license fees higher because it's based off of that sticker tag, and stuff has gotten really expensive.
Yes, it has.
Okay.
Does that make sense, or does that make life even muddier?
Well, a little both.
Yeah.
Well, this is very busy.
It is busy.
Sort of.
So to explain this, the bottom half is the revenue. That is what is coming into you. So for your motor vehicle fees, if you look at the bottom down there, where it says it's about 3/4 of the way down, about 5 lines from the top, rural health district motor vehicle fees.
Okay.
You received $7,528 this month, last month, of the share. Because
so
it gets
this is a monthly.
This is monthly, yes.
Okay.
So far, over the course of this fiscal year, $40,000 has come in on just motor vehicle fees alone. And again, that goes back because new vehicles are very expensive.
Yes.
So when we
and that's a 6 month. That's July of 22
yes.
through December.
Yes. July 1 through December is what this outside ending balance total is.
What's the opening balance?
The opening balance, if you, on the bottom, that's a rollover of the month prior. So you would have the 333 plus the 7,000 would bring you to the 40. That's just a rollover from each month.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At the top, let me take you up to the asset side of life. So when the 2022 taxes were set and the mills were set into them, it was saying that the rural health district would be getting $531,761.27. That's in the opening balance right there. Of that total, if you go over to the ending balance, you still have $369,000 of that to come in. And a lot of that is because that 2022 tax is deferred. And so that's what I'm saying. That number is not going to go down to zero. If you go up to 2021, you will see there's $53,000 left of 2021 taxes that you have not received. I can pretty much tell
and
you.
And that's the question is we don't really know when we're going to receive this, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Or if.
Right.
Or if. Each time we can get one more delinquent person to pay,
yeah.
That's more money to each and every district.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you look on there, you'll see taxes on 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It's because And technically, by law, every 10 years, those can be written off. I kind of like to fight to still try to find those people if I can. That's why we're collecting on 2013 still, because we found them and we've reached some kind of a settlement for them. It's not a ton that they're paying, but they're paying.
Good.
This is probably a stupid question, but when you fight for these things, I'm assuming fees are incurred when you try and fight for delinquent taxes.
On some, yes.
Do we get charged? Like, is that, who pays for those fees?
If it has to go through a court settlement, then yes. Those fees will be spread out over
everybody. Between all of us.
Between all of us.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that the school district will absorb the majority of it.
Okay.
But in the current settlement that we're all waiting for, we have attorney fees set into that amount that they are supposed to be paying so that it wouldn't be passed on to all of us.
That Carbon Creek has to absorb when they pay us.
Okay. And also, a lot of those smaller amounts, Barry just does them as part of his job.
Okay.
So it's the cost of filing a lien, which
yes.
is 20.
And that comes out of my budget.
Yeah. So a lot of the work to recover those, we're able to just absorb the cost of that inside the county attorney's
okay.
office. It's any time where we have to go out of our jurisdiction because they filed bankruptcy in a place where no one in the county attorney is admitted to practice law or it's beyond their comfort level. But
sure.
a lot of that, we just eat the cost
yes.
and go after getting the money.
Okay. So this, again, this 2000, so just go to 2008, this $6,000
sure.
is for Rural Healthcare District alone or all of the?
That is just Rural Health
okay.
alone.
Okay.
That was your amount. So if you look at the, now at the top, you're only going to see the, for like 2023, you're going to see the $49,000 that came in, and then it turned around and went back out again. The debit is an out. My reports are totally backwards to human accounting. A negative is a positive in my world, which makes life really... So down there where they're all bracketed, those are really positive numbers. They're not negatives. But if you look at 2023 down there, so far you've gotten $276,000 in 2023 taxes. So... that's the one number that you will never, that will always, the odd year out will always have a zero in the ending balance in the upper side of it. Otherwise, the others are always going to show you how much money of that year has yet to come in. And and you're going to see that the big numbers are in 18, 19, 20 in there. And those are the years we're fighting drastically to get. I know this is a very busy report. But I figure if you can look at numbers, then sometimes that maybe makes the other side of it make a little more sense.
Yeah.
It may have just muddied the waters. I don't know.
Okay. No, it's good.
It's helpful, yeah. Thank
yeah.
you,
Tyler. We know where to find you.
Yeah, you do. You do. And feel free anytime.
That's good.
Any other questions?
Do you have like a, I mean, obviously there's probably things that you can't, you're limited as to things you can help us with in terms of our budget. I mean, can you guide us in budgets for what you, I don't know how to, you know, can you help guide our thinking when it comes to setting our budget, or are you kind of,
well, we can always, we have a pretty good idea leading in. The assessor's office always kind of gives us a head up of what the valuation is going to be, which then we can in turn tell you what 2 mils of that money is going
okay.
to do for you. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's public
and
that, knowledge.
That yes.
we can, okay.
Yeah. That most definitely when we get closer to
sure.
to budget, then he's always given us, especially the commissioners, a heads up of, this is what it looks like it's going to be.
Okay.
The one thing that always holds us up is the mineral, because that they report straight to the state on that. And so he's having to pull that number from them.
Sure.
But, yeah, we can give you a heads up of what we're looking at, what the mill levy, or what the valuation is going to be,
okay.
which then in turn tells you how much money you would be looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Helpful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank
you,
Connie.
We really appreciate this. And you said the check comes in on the 10th. It's sent out on the 5th every month. And then we kind of get it the 10th, you said?
We try to get balanced by the 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Depends on how well that goes. Some months are better than others. But we always have to have the payment out by the 10th.
Okay.
So somewhere usually around the 6th or so, we mail them out.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe you guys, this is one of them that's mailed.
some, just received it today.
Okay, because some choose to come get it. I call them, they come get
okay.
it. Because they don't
want
to wait
that
for the delay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay.
Awesome. Right.
Thank you, Carla.
Great.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
I will pass this around. What we can do is, since it only requires two signatures, you guys can look at, these are all the vouchers that we're going to be signing tonight. And then what I thought is if two people wanted to sign and then we didn't, everyone have to look at the checks. And then if you, we can approve the vouchers based on this. And then as long as two people have signed the checks, we can vote to approve that. And then you guys can initial at the end if we want to keep things moving.
Yeah, that works good.
Is this all one thing, or?
Oh yeah, I think
it's
all
yep,
one.
Yep. So the
right.
and then the KC, the first two are our voucher, like the vouchers, and then the last two pages are KC EMS.
Okay.
And it's also in the packet.
So the packet is
last
month.
Oh.
And that needs to be initialized as well when the minutes have been approved, and these would have been, these vouchers I believe would have been approved last meeting, so we just need this sheet initialized for the record.
Perfect.
Like I said, it's in the bylaws for this, so if you guys can think of if you, if we want to change the bylaws, I just didn't want to go against the bylaws at this point, because it says that the vouchers need signed during this.
We need to, you want us to initial this?
Nope, that was just my, that's just, okay. And then.
No, I think you're right, Brittany. I think let's get our feet under us
that's
for a while, and then if we think of something great, but would be my thoughts. But.
And so these all go with this folder. So if we want, if once everyone, I don't know if you and Adam want to split this up and you sign half and he signs half, and then. And those go in this folder. Like I said, there were just a couple things on there that were big standout amounts.
Oops. That looks stuck.
So when KC comes, do you give them like the whole packet or just the check?
So they take everything. I mail the check out. They take the voucher and store that in KC.
This part?
Yes.
Okay, so that we will have to probably have to send that.
And then you just want us to initial it? After the meeting?
Well, you can initial. I just didn't thought to move things along. There's no one here from KC to take the checks right now, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, I'll have to get hold of them. And then, Brittany, you'll have to sign as the claimant on the vouchers for the district.
On
for the ones in that first group.
Oh, I did sign all those.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
The voucher.
Yeah, she just split her stack that she signed. All right. In there. And then okay. And I go back.
because that's made the rounds, unless Marilyn did not see the voucher summary.
That's just the rest of the
I just wanted to make sure this is the KC one.
And these ones go in there too as well, I'm not sure.
So since we can kind of maybe do two things at once here, since everyone had a chance to look this over, is there any questions about the vouchers?
I don't have any.
So this is all Casey, so just make sure Marie these
okay.
Separate. Motion then to approve the vouchers.
I so move. I move.
So Marilyn has a motion to approve the vouchers. Marie has seconded. All in favor say aye to approve the vouchers.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, so in my analness, I studied Robert's Rules of Order. And we don't have to make a motion to approve the minutes. We can just, as long as everyone, so first I'll ask, you all received the minutes from last month's meeting, and are there any additions or corrections to the minutes that you would like?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
Okay, so now I believe I can say that the minutes approve as distributed. Okay, Dr. Schuler and the Treasurer's Report is next.
What I plan to do is just give a summary of the previous month's financials, and then as things come along, make a forecast about when the budget needs to be proposed, and there's a timeline. March, we start creating the new budget, and then it gets discussed and reviewed the following meeting, and there are some, I guess, larger treasurer's reports. So I'll this month won't be very detailed. In the month of December, ambulance fees were $151,000, and other income was interest of about $3,353. And we received taxes in a total of $158,000. It says month, but accrued by month, it's $329,000. And in terms of taxes for the 6 months of the fiscal year in 2022, it was $488,000.
or motor vehicle fees for that period, $42,000. And out of county transfers was $41,000, and over the course of the last 6 months, $317,000. So revenue for the past 6 months is much higher than what it has been traditionally, and that's because of a windfall in out-of-county transfers, which makes our revenue look much better than we should plan on going forward. And I'd anticipate there'll be some revenue, but much less, as Sheridan has other options for transferring patients. Time will tell, but I think we should look at that number and reduce it by about 75% and make further adjustments as things move forward. I don't think that we need to talk about all of our district-wide expenses unless there are outliers. And as of last month, the outlier was paying payroll taxes for the retention pay that was distributed to everyone on the two services. And so that amounted to payroll taxes of $41,670.
That was actually the gross pay. That was the taxes are actually in the bookkeeping line.
Oh, that's right. I'm on the wrong column now.
The taxes ended up being the $16,293.
Okay.
It's better. Still a lot, but.
And the FUTA tax amount is actually not going to be in that, won't be actually reported in this treasurer's report until January, because it's being paid right now as of January. But the total taxes that will be paid for the retention pay will be $16,293.
Okay. And to clarify the collection fees, that's based on ambulance billing, and it's roughly 10% of what we bill out, but it, if you look at the top of our December numbers, there were 181,000 generated in ambulance bill and collection fees of a little bit less than 10%, 17,576. And I suppose it's just that sometimes what's coming in is going out at a little different time, but it's close to 10%. And that's, I guess that's going to be standard. And I don't know industry-wise how that measures up, but I think that's also a fairly competitive rate. I don't know that we're going to find someone to do billing and collection for less than 10%. So currently, we had a total income over the last 6 months of $1,080,138 and expenses of $657,000, which left us with a significant positive cash flow, and that's great, but not likely to be the norm going forward. Some of that will also be increased due to increased valuation, but time will tell. I think that's all I want to do tonight.
Are there any questions about the treasurer's report?
Yeah, Madam Chairperson. On the election, isn't there a voucher in there for Donaldson County for an election?
About $1,200.
Election fees. And so on our, but that's for next month, so that'll show
it'll
up.
It'll show up.
That'll show up on
January's
the next month's one. Okay.
Report, which you'll see in February
yeah.
meeting.
Okay. So I have one other thing. I just took it upon myself today since I noticed it. So our money market account at Bank of Buffalo, if you look down there, it's sitting over $1 million. And I'd like to suggest that that might be a lot of money sitting in the money market account, earning 2-point-some percentage. And Bank of Buffalo has a thing going on right now where we could take a one-year CD, and they've got 1, 2, 3, but a one-year CD right now is going to pay 3.3% with an annual percentage yield of 3.36. So I wanted to throw that out there to see, treasurer-wise and board-wise, what you think about taking some of this money market money and putting it into a CD at Buffalo, Bank of Buffalo. Dr. Shu, here's the printout.
That's a good idea. Yeah. What, Marilyn, historically, how much is usually kept in that money market account?
Well, we've been kind of experimental the last year or two because we set that up and we didn't know for sure how much. And Carrie, what was the original? Do you remember? Like, we thought we could keep 500,000 or two or...
Definitely minimums. But what had happened was they paid us a 5% interest rate for a while.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to them.
To them, yeah.
And so they figured that
out.
Yeah.
We switched, and that was actually, so we
right.
got more money in our checking than the money market. So that's why it's gone now to more money market, because that's
right.
earning higher interest.
Yep.
But I think $1 million
is a little overkill. Yeah, yeah. So basically just keeping enough money in there so that when we pay the bills, that goes from there to the checking. So I leave it up to you all to...
I thought I saw in the special district handbook there was something about that, about the transferring of
mm-hmm.
money.
There's an appropriate way to do
yeah.
that.
So that's my only thing.
We would,
and then the other question is, you know, how it limits us in terms of accessing that money.
Off another thought.
Yeah. Were these all in this folder? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So right now we've got CDs.
When does that thing for me Buffalo say when it's?
There's 1 year.
But I mean, is it like a?
In 2 years.
Promotion going on and it ends January 30th, or is that...
They said they didn't know how long they would keep it.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay.
So I told them I'd just bring it to the board tonight and see how the board felt about it.
I think the first thing maybe we need to do before we make any decision is go talk to the Bank of Buffalo and just... about in terms of whether or not, you know, accessing the money if needed.
You can't access it until
it'd be the term of the CD. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Can
so
you
it'd be,
access
it'd be
the
locked.
Money market?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're putting the money market in there, and then when we have bills to pay, you know, that's being moved back and forth.
So is our budget coming from the money market? That's just, our budget isn't coming out of the money. Or is it? It is.
Yes, it is.
You're not making
that's
the checks.
That's part of our
out
money.
Of
that's
the checks are written out of the checking account.
Right.
And I have actually been depositing once in a while the property tax check into the actual checking account rather than into the money market, to keep it about 100,000 so that there is enough to cover the checks.
So would it be appropriate, I mean, we need to see what we have to do district-wide, but if we took like half of this, put a half a million into CDs, or is that too much?
I think we need to look at what we're the district budgeting, because the
right
budget was, because that's going to, that's where this is sort of confusing to me, and I apologize for the newness of me with this, is just knowing like the checks that are, knowing what the check's coming in, but knowing how much we have to budget for our upcoming budget to not take
too much.
Too much. But that's where I don't know how much is.
Well, it's
too much.
We should probably do some research on that to find out what we need for capital.
From the proposed budget, 22-23, which estimates operating revenues of 400,000 and tax levy of 722,000 and some other income, about 1.2 coming in and expenses almost identical. It's almost a break even with expenses matching that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unlikely we're going to see a wild swing. I don't think it's unreasonable to put half of that in a CD, and the money market's earning what?
Two. It says on there, I think.
Well, this would
well,
be.
Well, this is the new one.
The CD for a 1 year would be 3.3.
Yeah, down on the bottom it talks about the money market.
And the money market, which is where it is now.
Where it is now, but I can't remember
is
what.
Is probably
we're,
in
what
the
we're getting.
0.5.
It's like 1 or not even 1%. I don't
believe.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if it was 2. If it was 2, I'd say almost leave it, you know, but if I don't. I'd be surprised.
Now, it
I
does say there's
not
a
even at one,
VIP money market if you have over 200,000 in it, and that's paying 2%.
Yeah. I think our current is not even 1%. If it is, it's barely.
Well, I think we should demand VIP money market rates if we're going to leave a half a million in that account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Current interest rate. Here says 2.5%.
2.5? Well, that's higher than I thought.
And what does that one say? VIP money market.
2.05. So
we're already
even more than VIP,
yeah.
I guess. But
and to have, I mean, that's to and to have unrestricted access. I mean, that's pretty good to have that.
How about this? How about myself or Dr. Schuler talks with the Bank of Buffalo about the restrictions on the CD.
There are restrictions.
Yeah.
It's
and
the
then
term
we can,
of the CD.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that way we're all clear and we can vote on knowing exactly.
Well, the rate might be gone by the next meeting if, you know, depending on when they change the CD rates.
Well, having shopped around, there are rates of 3.5 and 3% in a lot of banks in town. So I think there's a little competition, and I don't think interest rates are going down in the near future. So
okay.
There's probably no rush, but I guess you seem to have a question about what's proper as a government agency buying a CD.
Well, I just thought I saw something in the special district handbook that discussed the disbursements of that kind of stuff. I'll have to look further
you probably,
into it.
I mean,
I could be wrong.
Advertise it and say we're going to move, just so the public is aware, that we're going to move X amount from our money market to another CD. This thing gets printed on the website every month.
And there might not be
detailed
anything
you
want to
go.
Yeah.
And I think maybe to establishing, you know, the minimum we want that money market to be at for that rainy day fund, and again, then we, if we have this a true up to keep in mind too, that we might need to, I don't know what that rainy day fund or what that minimum's been, in you know, in the past, Marilyn.
Well,
half a million.
You know, we've just gone down through our CDs, and right now we have a 12-month term at all of them are at the First Northern Bank, and so we've got a 118,000 some odd and change, 147,000 and 235,000 in CDs. The first one comes due in May, and then June, and then July of 2023. So we're sitting pretty good there. So we've got 500,600 and some in those CDs.
Yeah, this just says investments, but it's not. It just says how you should make a journal entry. So it's nothing.
We don't have to do it all at once. I mean, so we could do 250,000 now, and we don't have to do half right now. And it's probably good if those CDs are staggered. If we did do 250, and then maybe there's another something came up in a couple months, and
I'll go to the Bank of Buffalo and find out what the early withdrawal penalty is, which I think is just forfeiting your interest, but confirm what those terms are.
That's what I understood, was that if you pulled it out early, you'd be paying the interest.
And I'll see if I can get a 5% checking account like the ambulance used to have.
Sounds good.
Well, and that, you know, just background, that's why we moved everything from the First Interstate to the Bank of Buffalo, because we found out we had never been getting interest on any of the bank account there, and it had $2 million over the years in it. So that's why I kind of keep an eye on this stuff.
Okay, perfect. So
do we need to a motion?
No, you actually don't approve the treasurer's report. We just file it for audit, according to Mr. Robert.
Filing now, is that a written statement?
It just
said
to ask the secretary to file it for audit.
Okay, so that's basically
because you can't approve something that's already, we're not approving it. It's already done. He's just explaining
this is what's getting on file?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I just think it's something we should do, but it's up to you guys.
As far as a motion to approve it,
it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. It's not something you have to do, but so I'll just leave it up to you guys.
I'm going to move that we approve the treasurer's report as presented.
I'll second.
So Marie approved a trip, and Adam seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Both the same sign.
Just kind of a CYA thing.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
I guess my question is what are you, it's already done. You're not, it's kind of, then you would have to approve the director's report, because it's just a report.
Right.
In all my research, anyway, it just said that there's nothing to, but I'm fine with anything. I'm learning as we go. So, okay, Buffalo director's report.
For December, we had 76 calls, which is more than we've ever had for December. 60 were medical, 16 trauma, 18 transfers for Johnson County, and two transfers for Sheridan Memorial Hospital. Four of those transfers were with nurses. Two to Billings, one to Casper, and one to Sheridan. 44 in-town calls, 32 out-of-town, 68 were Johnson County residents with 8 non-residents. Only 3 calls were canceled, but we did have 10 patient refusals. 0 standby, 0 codes, 1 DOA. We did not have a trauma team activation in December. 32 of those 76 were Medicare, 7 were Medicaid, 12 insurance, 6 self-pay, 3 VA, no Title 25 or workers' comp. And then we have our mileage down there, as well as the out-of-county transfer mileage for those two calls. Brittany, I don't know if this is where you want me to discuss, but you had asked about Title 25 transfers, and we talked about it at the last meeting. And you had asked if I came up with some data, and I will give this a copy to everyone here.
I kind of just wanted to know, like, what are we losing in Title 25?
Well,
and that's kind of why I asked Carrie to...
Right, yeah, what potentially? Well, in 2019-20, we had 8. The next year, we only had 1, and then 2 and 2. So as you can see, it's not significant.
Sure. Okay.
And I believe it was the 2019-20 fiscal year that we started having these meetings with law enforcement and the hospital and mental health, because it was an issue. We were having more.
Yeah.
And so the number has dwindled. But so far in this fiscal year, we've had 2 that have not been billed or paid. Right.
And that's transferring them from the hospital to WBI.
And I do have on this sheet that what our rate would be if we charged the full amount. So the billing company, you know, at the basic level, and then the mileage, it would be $5,400. From Sheridan, with the additional mileage, it's $6,880, and that's what we're currently getting. Medicare does not pay for Title 25, so I'm not saying that, but Medicare, for a transfer from Johnson County to Casper, they pay $1,376.
Mm-hmm.
So, keeping that in mind, and if the county attorney's office asks, what, you know, and that's not cost. I'm not saying that's cost, but I am saying that's what
you
Medicare thinks are cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably.
I can pass this through to Carrie if you want.
So that's just more information.
Thank you.
Thanks.
At some point, come up with a cost for those WBI transfers. And then also, Brittany, I know I visited with her about the cost of repairs and maintenance for your ambulance service, your ambulances. We have 4. When the new contract came about, we were tasked with keeping records and keeping receipts in case you wanted to look at those. And I think in the contract it says... Buffalo EMS is responsible up to a certain amount. If it goes over that, I think it's $3,000, and then the Rural Health can kick in. Brittany just asked how much that's been for Buffalo EMS, and so I did total that. So for the first fiscal year, it was, I don't have a copy for everyone, but I can get you one, $5,700. Just for tires, services, that's not fuel whatsoever, that's just maintenance to the...
And that's to all 4 ambulances?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the next year it was $7,100. So far in this year, with just 6 months, it's been $6,556.
Okay.
So just so you're aware of that, you know, we are taking care of the ambulances and maintaining them, and they are aging, and we've had to do a number of brake pads and rotors replacements. That's costly, and that's just the nature of the beast. The ambulances are very, very heavy, and we're coming down the mountain. You know, any amount of brake pressure
can we have that?
Yeah.
Thanks.
And also,
very much.
Thank you.
Carrie.
Thank you. Anything else, Carrie?
Oh, one other thing is we had a Lucas device. We have two up here in Buffalo. They were donated from the Helmsley Foundation a number of years ago. I think a new one is in the $20,000 range. We had one where the charger mechanism broke off in the Lucas unit. I got a new charger, but there's a little piece in the device. That has happened before. They're aware of those, not to us, but they're aware of that problem. However, we do not have a maintenance agreement on those, so the cost is going to be $1,200 for them to repair.
Thanks.
I just got that today, that it could be less, but they, and they can provide us with a loaner for $400. But I don't think we'll be down that long. They say it's a 7 to 10 day period where you'd be without it. We do have one on the primary, one out. So I wouldn't recommend the expense of a loaner. But I don't think we have an option in terms of the repair.
Yeah.
And it might be less. They did say it could be, depending on the... but the technician said it's amazing how much they have to take apart just to get to that piece.
Okay. And these are still the original ones that we were gifted or granted when we got those.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you
very much.
I have a question on their call report. When you have canceled and refused, is that in addition to the 76 calls, or is that part of the 76?
That's part of the 76.
And this month, we had about 8% self-pay. Is that a typical average amount, or is that usually higher or lower?
No, that's typical. And I can get some reports from the billing company. 32 out of our 76 calls this month are Medicare, and we will typically run at 50% Medicare all the time. And then, so this is all pretty standard
okay. This
month.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I have a question. So, where are we with the nitrous oxide? Has it been purchased or
it's already been purchased.
Ordered or?
I think it's. I don't have a date of arrival. We have to work out some particulars with American Welding and Gas to have that nitrous oxide and have some training. So we don't have the equipment yet.
So they're the contractor that provides the replacement bottles?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if you want to let me know when we get it, we can set up a training and then start using it shortly thereafter.
I tried calling Crosby and he did not answer, so... like Casey only had two ambulance calls.
Just one, right?
One.
Oh, one.
Yeah.
Sorry. One, yes. So. And then still waiting for that, for the front end after the tire blew out of that ambulance. Did he say that the ambulance was, I couldn't remember, the ambulance was completely out of commission or still
driving?
All right. Old business. Audit process. I'll defer this to Marilyn because she has been with the Porter Muirhead. So, as you know, they did increase our, we had budgeted $17,000 for the audit.
And then Porter Muirhead can start in March, but it's going to be an additional $8,000 due to the expedition.
Yeah. So,
and Teresa drafted a letter, very nice letter, to Cloud Peak Accounting that kind of said, please work with them when they contact you for our records, and hopefully we don't run into a hiccup.
Madam Chairman, I made copies of this for all the board members.
I wasn't sure.
So they, here's a, I think the original looks in color somewhere. That one's yours, I think.
Oh, they're all in color.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought there was one. Oh, I think it's right here.
Oh, here's the letter.
That's
okay.
What I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, the rest are. So I wanted each board member to have a copy of that to look it over. There's a peer review letter, because any reputable accounting person will provide a peer review letter of their company along with their engagement letter. And so what you have there is the engagement letter that I would suggest we sign tonight, so they can get started on their audit March. There's a timetable in the document.
March 1st. Oh, and they're going to be done in 15 days.
Wow.
Okay.
And they'll work, Teresa has a list of things that they want. Teresa's been working on the audit already. And so they didn't feel like it would take them all that long.
As long as they can get the records.
Mm-hmm.
So this we just have to sign. It says, and in here does it state the amount?
It says right here, our fee for the financial statements audit, according to the RIFRA for 22, is $25,000 based on a one-year contract for the services.
Mm-hmm. They did say that if we would like to have them bid on doing our next audit, that $25,000 would probably be a lot less. We've had them provide us a bid in the past, and they're a very reputable company. They do the county's audit, they do the fire district audit, cemetery district maybe, and so they're very familiar with Johnson County. The last time we did it, we had this company in Cloud Peak, and the board felt like, I think their estimate was maybe $20,000. It seems like it was $3,000 or $4,000 at least over what Cloud Peak, so the board opted to stick with the local company. But these guys are doing audits all over the state.
So we kind of, I thought, already confirmed. My only concern is it says mail confirmation has to be by, or we have till January 30th to send this in.
Yes, they have to get that back. So
by January 30th.
I'd say ASAP.
Yeah, okay.
And then below, even all confirmations prepared and provided by the 15th. So, yeah, better get that going.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve this bid if needed. We need.
So Adam has made a motion to approve Porter Muirhead and
bid for 20
Coronia and Howard to perform our audit.
I'll second
March
that.
1st. Dr. Schuler has seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
Thanks for doing the legwork on that, Marilyn.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for emailing that out, Brittany. Sorry for the delay on that. Email.
Teresa. My son. in, or how are we doing this?
I can.
Yes.
Okay. It's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Medical director replacement. We talked at our last meeting that Dr. Schuler is currently working as a volunteer for Buffalo EMS as their medical director. Have you guys?
Yes, it's my understanding. I spoke with Dave that we would like to recommend Dr. Darnell as the medical director, or director for Buffalo EMS. Now, that being said, we've not provided him with your contract, so he hasn't signed that. But if we could get that to him, that's
okay.
Our recommendation.
Okay. And does he agree?
Yes.
Does he want to do that? Okay. So we probably need a motion for Dr. and start date of when? February 1st?
February 1st, but I don't know that for sure. I don't know. Do you, Dr. Schuler?
That seems convenient. Then you can start with a monthly salary and not have to figure out part of a month. I don't think there'll be any major changes in the responsibilities between now and then.
Okay. Is there any kind of training you have to do for him?
I think there's some orientation, and I'll meet with him and kind of review what I've done over the years, and he knows where to find me.
Okay. Is that medical? So here's the medical director agreement. Is it something he actually signs from us?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Where is that?
Madam Chairman, if he wants to contract with the Rural Health Care District, he'll need to decide if he wants to be a contract laborer or if he wants to be an employee. And then he should review that contract, and then the dollar amount on it needs to be.
So if he's an employee, then Buffalo EMS pays him?
Well, we discussed this with Dr. Schuler and Dr. Goddard both when we never used to have an agreement form to sign. So that was one of the things that they needed to decide if they wanted to be contract or.
Can you explain the difference?
Well, mostly
taxes.
Bookkeeping,
taxes.
Really, is what it is.
What were you?
Contract labor.
Okay.
So you basically pay your own taxes on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just information wise. So I just wonder if he should look at the agreement before we approve him to be the director.
Probably.
The only problem is that our meeting will come after
February 1st. Can we make a motion to authorize the chairman to sign the agreement with him if he's before the next meeting?
I don't see where we sign. Like, where? Here's the agreement, but where? What do we sign?
Well, there should be is there a signature page there attached? See?
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have the electronic copy of a blank one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you send that to me? And then this one, this medical director agreement, I'm assuming since, is Luke contract or is he employee?
I think he's contract.
He's contract as well. So this, does it state in here? Doesn't look like, because we'll have to change the name and everything on here, but it doesn't state on here whether it's contract or employee, does it?
I don't remember.
You have two different forms.
I don't think there were any mention of that.
So how do we control that? I mean, how do we say that?
Well, you can add that in there.
Okay.
We can add a paragraph.
It has
in
independent contractor status
but
on page 3 under payment.
I just don't remember how we worded it.
Okay, independent.
Yeah. So
yes.
if the dollar amount stays the same and you know if that doesn't change and he wants to be an independent contractor, yeah, we can just approve you to move forward if
okay.
he
Carrie
doesn't have
had
any changes.
A question real
well,
quick.
I just it's a comment and I think the board had decided not to offer it as an employee. It had been an employee
mm-hmm.
for a number of years until we separated Buffalo and KC. It makes more sense than I think the board. It's easier for you just to have the contract.
Then we don't have to worry about it.
And then
okay.
you don't have to worry about
Carrie's
taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
Up to
it
them.
Is easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Perfect. So if you'll send me that electronic copy, I can change it. So Adam has a motion on the table for myself to offer Dr. Darnell the contract agreement starting February 1st.
I second that motion.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Are we good, Buffalo EMS? Okay, guidehouse survey. Teresa and Marilyn, can you kind of talk about this? This was
well,
Madam
Chairman, what this is we got it's kind of a survey from the Department of Health a couple months ago, talking about it's called Ground Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program. It's a new program. They sent out a little survey deal to be filled out, and it asked for commercial payer rates and supporting documentation, so they wanted some run numbers and some documentation for that. And then they wanted to know total ground ambulance trips provided and net patient revenues from all payers. And we provided them some information, but it wasn't exactly what they wanted. So we had a conversation with them, called them, because we got a notice that said they weren't going to include it. They would exclude us, unfortunately, from this program, which is supposed to. What's going to happen is when we sent them our numbers, then, and Teresa helped me out with this, but we'll have to pay X amount, and then they will reimburse us our amount that we paid and an additional amount to that. So it'll be a winner for us revenue-wise. But this was just their first information gathering piece. It's brand new. It won't start, I think, this coming year. Can't remember when they were going to start the program, but we were behind, so they were going to review it. They were going to get back to us. I think it was after January 15th. They would give us some more information about what we qualified for and the amount. So, and this guidehouse company is the one that sent the survey out. And Teresa, do you have anything? It's okay, Teresa?
Yeah, yes.
That about covers it. There hasn't been much correspondence since we sent in a little more information. They needed actual explanation of benefits from general insurance payers, not Medicare and Medicaid, which is what I had originally sent them. And so through visiting with Marilyn, we were able to send them more information, and they're still looking at it. And I'm not sure what their criteria is as to
whether
you are eligible for the supplemental pay or not.
So this is funded by the state of Wyoming, and this is a company contracted by them to administer
that's
the
how
program?
Yep, that's how I took it. Ground Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program.
But their email when they sent back was kind of like, scary because it was kind of like, I mean,
yeah. While you're pulling that up, Marilyn, so you said you pay into it. I mean, you have to kind of pay into it.
Yep.
With
that's what he told me, and then they reimburse you.
Why? I don't understand.
Well, I'm not sure because we're just in the throes of it, so I can't answer that for sure how it worked. Yep. But we would be ahead if we can get in this program.
Yeah. More to come on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's okay. How I took it.
And I want to say they're looking at the commercial rates to base it on what you're actually receiving
mm-hmm.
for general insurance, not what you're receiving from
Medicare
insurance.
And Medicaid aren't included.
And it's my understanding that a lot of general insurances have contractual
mm-hmm.
agreements so that you might have your set rate, but you're contracted with the general insurance companies that they don't have to pay the full amount of your rate. And so they're trying to alleviate that contractual amount and make up for what you're losing, is my understanding.
Yep, I think you're right, Teresa. It kind of went, but I think Teresa's right on that. And the only payer that we submitted that they wanted was Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And then was there some self-pay? I don't remember. I think it was all Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
That's the biggest
payer. They wanted three.
To the rural health care district that's not
yeah.
a Medicare payer.
And they requested three of these commercial payers. But when we talked to them, it was like, well, we don't really have three. Our big payers, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, he said he would accept that.
It says this program not only has the potential to help the ground ambulance providers that currently bill Wyoming Medicaid, but other ambulance providers within the state of Wyoming. And it's the Wyoming Department of Health
mm-hmm.
that's doing it.
So does anyone know if our government employees, BLM and Forest Service, are Blue Cross, or do they have a separate insurance plan, or the school employees? Those are our biggest employers, and otherwise we just don't have any major industry or anything.
I think the state's with Cigna, aren't they? Do you know that, Bill?
This
state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not think the school district is Blue Cross.
No.
The school district is Cigna.
Cigna,
I'm pretty
too,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
But I think Forest Service and BLM is Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Are they? Okay.
And so is the county.
But we were able to get them the three.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, if he said
yeah.
that works. And then it's called the State of Wyoming to Develop a Ground Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program. You probably already said that. But.
Okay. Well, yeah, that'd be
so
interesting.
So it's just developing. So who knows
mm-hmm. we just didn't
when this could happen.
We just
yeah.
didn't want to get
he kind of, he was
excluded.
Like, I mean, the email was pretty.
Yeah.
It's not going to revolutionize our income,
no.
but if it's not a lot of
work to
paperwork, it's probably hard to say no.
Yeah. Any more questions on the Guidehouse survey?
No.
Any more old business? Okay. New business, we kind of did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Medical director contract.
Yep, done.
Mm-hmm. New building grants. The grants, oh, Marilyn, I wrote it on a piece of paper. You probably have it in your head when we have to make decisions.
Oh,
by 2020.
Madam Chairman, on the grants, we have the mineral royalty grant, which the past board approved, and that's $425,000. And then they approved to do the ARPA grant. We received that, and that's $450,000. The dates on them are the monies have to be allocated by December of 2024, and the projects need to be completed by December of 2026. And then we set aside $500,000 in our budget for construction. We spent $80,000 to purchase the land at the out on the north bypass by the fire district buildings. So that's where we are.
So Marilyn, may I ask?
Yes, absolutely.
So the ARPA for sure was approved.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have the grant award agreement for that yet, but it's coming. They're so busy down there, it might take a while to get it.
And these are both matching grants, meaning you... Mm-hmm.
So the way it was supposed to work is that we use our funding to match the mineral royalty grant. The mineral royalty grant matches the ARPA grant, and it should be a kind of a wash when it's all said and done.
Does that mean we would receive $875,000 if we're investing an additional $875,000 into the project?
Right. That's how that matched. So you have to show that match.
Okay.
We have to invest $800,000 because I thought you said...
No.
Right.
Well, if we use the mineral royalty grant, that's right. Our match for the ARPA grant.
I see. We're matching it with grant money, not our own pocket money.
Right, that ARP. Okay. Yeah.
But the mineral
but
royalty,
then the mineral
has
royalty
to be,
grant.
We're matching that.
We would match.
Right.
But I think it can end up being a kind of a wash where actually when you get those reimbursements back from the grants, you're going to be whole.
Well, you're going to be spending more than $875,000 to complete a project, so you're committing some amount, which
yes.
will be determined based on mm-hmm. what costs are and mm-hmm. what the ultimate design involves and square
right.
footage, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get the $425,000 unless we spend.
We have to show that we've got the $425,000 in our budget.
We have to spend
that
right.
to get the $425,000 reimbursed.
Right. And then to get the $450,000.
Mm-hmm. And then when they send us the $425,000 from the mineral royalty grant, that's the match for the other.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the update and background there.
Perfect. Thank you. So keep that in your...
Yeah.
And as we move forward, decisions will have to start being planned and made. New fiscal year budget. I didn't put this on, so I'm not sure. Go ahead.
I guess, Madam Chairman, I probably said maybe we should put that on there. I know we have to start working on our... We'll have to start working on our new budget, and you have a timeline there in your book. And I've always said I like to start working on it earlier rather
yep.
than later because of it. And we have to kind of have an
I've
idea
yeah,
of what we're looking at because we have to send a letter. Usually, Buffalo EMS will send the board a letter requesting what they feel their operating expenses would be for the next year. And then based on what we feel we have to spend, because we have to fund KC as well, that then we come back with an offer to Buffalo EMS based on what we feel we can afford. So I guess wanted to put that in the board's minds that's coming, and that's probably the first thing we're going to have to do.
And actually, prior to that, I think, according to the term of contract, the
right.
first thing we'll have to do is 120 days from June 30th, which I have my
yeah.
calendar out. I can. We just pretty much have to say a yay or nay to Buffalo EMS.
Because Dave's contract, Buffalo EMS's contract will be up June
yeah.
of 2023.
Yeah, June 30th. So,
then 120 days from there, we would have to decide whether we wanted to renew the contract. It can just automatic. I believe it says in there. I can't remember, but I think there's just an automatic for that third year to, for the next year to just go ahead and say, yes, we want Dave to continue. And then, or the board can decide if they want to look at other types of services or whatever. It doesn't matter to me, but that's...
So it looks like as our March meeting, if so I calculated 120 days correctly.
That'd be right, yeah. I mean,
well, I think you need to decide at your February meeting in order to submit a letter. And
because the letter will have to be done by March.
By March 1st.
Okay.
Approved in February.
So I don't know how you want to proceed with that, but those are the two biggies coming up.
Okay.
Is this stuff we do in executive session? Is this stuff we do in public meetings? Conversations had in executive sessions?
Well,
how do we talk with Buffalo? I mean, obviously, like, everything has to be public, but how do we talk with Buffalo for saying, like, their comment regarding this?
Well, when the last contract was signed, there was a negotiation. Two board members, Jim Hicks and Scott McBride, negotiated with Buffalo EMS.
Separate from the meeting, obviously. Okay.
Because, I mean, you got to be careful about having a whole board meet, because then you've got an actual meeting going on.
Okay.
So I don't know if the board wants to do that.
And then they brought their negotiation discussions to the board to be decided on?
Yeah, there was a lot of letters and different things going back and forth.
Okay.
But,
Marilyn, was that a formal kind of contract committee, or I mean, do we utilize kind of subcommittees at all to do that type of stuff, or not?
Basically,
really?
I would look at it as a subcommittee.
Right.
You know,
that might be the best way to formalize it.
To do it.
So this has to be started and then brought back to the board by February.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I can.
Yeah.
My thought is that we should. Because I can't remember the wording, but if there's an automatic thing in that, I think, because I haven't read it.
But that's only if they don't want any changes to the contract.
That's true, but that's what I was going to say, is that I would like to just see us do an automatic renew for this next year and give the board and everybody a chance to, you know, get their feet wet, see how things go. I mean, we know we got a good service. So I, rather than start a whole bunch of negotiations and try to redo a contract, that would be my recommendation to the board. But it's board decision.
I see where you're coming from. I still feel like we have to be able to give Buffalo EMS the opportunity to discuss with us.
Oh, sure. I agree. But,
you know,
but as far as like getting real into that.
Could be a good starting point on our end at least, and then go from there. But,
go ahead.
Just to bring to the board's attention 2 points. One is, when the last contract was being negotiated, we were in COVID lockdown. So some of the ways in which it was handled may not necessarily have been the best. And so I mean, you know, I support Marilyn's point about, you know, being careful not to be poor. And there is sensitivity about, you know, what is appropriate to be discussed in an open forum and what is not. And, you know, I'm sure that that can be handled well. The other thing I'd just like to draw attention to the board is that there is a difference between budget and contract.
Mm-hmm.
And just for new board members to be mindful of that, and Marilyn can explain what that is and what historically has happened, but the two coincide, the process and the timing do overlap, but you just need to be clear in your minds as to what is being discussed under contract negotiations and what is separate in terms of being the annual budget.
Sure.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Carrie.
And I agree. I think Marilyn's right with just renewing the contract for the additional year, because the initial term was 3 years, mm-hmm. and it can be extended by a year. And I think that deadline is looming, and that's my recommendation, is that you either approve or not at the February meeting, and then let us know, Buffalo EMS, by March 1st, whether you've extended that or not. And then we go on to the mm-hmm. annual contract budget negotiations.
Right. Okay.
And if
I still feel like we just, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe just want to, just to make sure that, since we're new, making sure that the contract as is how we want, for everybody to.
That's good.
Yes, and I think that's wonderful. I just think that we don't have that much time between
sure.
now and March 1st, so mm-hmm. Just to extend that for a year and give the board and Buffalo EMS that year to work out negotiations, because it takes a good six months.
It's not a fun
going
process.
Back and forth with what you would like changed, what we would like changed. I mean, this was a new contract, and certainly we've learned some things in those 3 years. And
so we could say by March 1st, yay or nay to doing the just you are going to have it, and then what the contract looks like can come after that, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just to add to that, there is no reason why, because I think stability of service is really critical in this, and so there's no reason why you couldn't agree to extend the contract for assurance of stability of service, but meanwhile, be working on another subsequent contract and finalising the budget as and when those figures and availability of funds and so on comes in play. So, you know, it is not a simple thing, and I'm sorry that Dave can't be here. He wasn't able to attend this afternoon, because I think at some point it would be prudent for the board or a board member to have a conversation with Dave as director of Buffalo EMS as to kind of what his vision is.
Yeah.
But
that's just what I'm saying.
For a sustainable period of time for provision of services.
And is the contract with Sheridan within this contract?
We don't have a contract with Sheridan.
There's no contract.
There's no contract.
For the out-of-county transfers?
Yes. Okay. So that's not part of this.
We did do an amendment. So in a way it would be, because we did an amendment to that saying that Dave would receive 15%.
Yeah. And that's just where I also think we need to have that conversation about it. Okay.
And I think, you know, the March 1st deadline is to extend for a year, but it would certainly be up to the board. You wanted to extend for 4 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I said, stability, or Kate said stability, and it takes a good 6 months just to negotiate when we've had a contract and been here for 30 years. So there is that thought that you might consider extending it longer than a year.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So I would maybe like to see a subcommittee developed tonight, just so we have a communication guideline as to, or ideas.
Yeah.
Just to have a quick conversation with Buffalo EMS, say we can bring it to the board, they're good, we say yay or nay to this by March 1st, and then that subcommittee can continue to have these meetings to keep the ball rolling quickly. I'm happy to be on that subcommittee. Would anyone else like to be on the subcommittee?
I can be, but again, we got to make sure with our numbers that we're only at two.
Yeah.
So if someone else would like to join Brittany, I'm totally fine with that, but I'm happy to help if needed.
Do you want to join, since we can maybe have a new and a seasoned person with the contract?
I would prefer that.
Do we need to make a motion for a subcommittee?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it just never hurts to make a motion.
Would someone like to make a motion to nominate Brittany and Marie to be on the subcommittee for the Buffalo EMS contract?
So moved. I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. All right, any call for new business?
Hearing none, any public comment? Hearing none, can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I so move.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor to adjourn the meeting, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Very good.
Yeah.